women's study will not start. Men's study will be starting tonight. The women's will start next week. Faith Bible Institute will be off this week, back on next week. So a word of prayer for the children. Father God, we thank you. We thank you so much for children. We thank you for the teachers. We thank you for their hearts and minds. Lord, allow us, guide us to teach them, show them well how they ought to grow up and live. We thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Memory verse. We did 1 Timothy 4:12. I already had someone say they know it, but they don't want to say it because it's for the young people anyway. So any young person out here know 1 Timothy 4:12? Or those that think they're young? I mean, that's fair, I guess, you know. That's, I know I say older and people are like, hey, that's my age. I'm like, sorry, it's older than me. I mean, I don't know. No? 1 Timothy 4:12? Anyone older? Older than older? Larry, don't nudge her. We're talking about you. Let no one despise you for your youth, right? But set down an example for the believers. Speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Amen? Amen. So today, we'll be diving in. The title is, there is a handout in your bulletins there, Why Give? And today we'll be starting, we're starting the Missions Month. There is a missions pamphlet in there put together by Sue and Mark. Thank you very much. And we encourage you, this is spelled out for the month for you, to invite others. We've got a lot of empty spots in here for the month. I'm starting today. And then we'll have Mike Sikosha, Bill Webster. Mike Sikosha is from Schenectady City Mission. Bill Webster from Voice of the Martyrs. Bob Mack, and who is our missionary, that who we support from the Ivory Coast. And so just really encourage you to be praying specifically. We'll be talking about missions. Also in your bulletin there, and I will touch base again on it, is your faith promise. And I'll explain more of that as we go through here. So the passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, being that I knew what we were going to be doing for Missions Month, and knowing that I'm not going through the book of the Bible, I knew what I wanted to talk about today. So I've kind of had this sermon ready, itching to go. And ironically, last night, it just like turned on me. I didn't feel right about certain things about it, so I put it aside. I started working on another sermon. Pastor Larry, you can vouch for this. That's annoying, but it's all God. And then Brian called me at, it was about 10 o'clock at night. He was here going over some stuff, and he shared what God was just really neat that he had learned this week over at Redeemer. And it was the 3 points that I had for the other sermon. And I was like, all right, you're going to find this funny, Brian, but I just put that aside. I was wondering, what are we doing? So they're interwoven. There's not two sermons. Don't get nervous. You're thinking, Pastor, we've got 15 minutes. But I don't even know why the clock's back there because I don't worry about it. But it's just... Oh, God, just stirring in my heart. I really want to talk about this, why give. And I'm not going to be, don't get stressed and worried and clenched to your wallets. It's not like, that's not what we're preaching here. It's just, hear this passage in chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 6 to 15. We've got the church of Corinth, and they're having a lot of problems, okay? And we see that in 1 Corinthians. And here's Paul writing to them. And they were very cheerful givers. And what they were giving is to multiple things. They were helping their church there. They were helping the saints. Paul and many of the apostles, they were really supporting the church in Jerusalem. See, the church in Jerusalem was unlike the Gentiles were being persecuted in ways that were unheard of. And the church in Corinth really wasn't getting as much persecution, if any, like Jerusalem was. And it really made me think about America. You know, here we, once known as the birthing place of missionaries, it's changing. There's more missionaries coming in than going out right now. But we still are comfortable. There is persecution here and there. It's not on extreme levels like it is. I forgot the article. I was reading it to Brian, and then I said it somewhere else. I forgot it. But Voices of the Martyrs will be talking about this in Iraq and Syria. There's a picture of a man on his knees. And it was, they called him Brother John. They're very careful about the names they share because they are being extremely persecuted there. And he said that as a church, they've been praying and praying in Iraq for revival. And I never thought it would come through the war. And you look behind them and the building's gone. Just gone. And here we are, we're going to talk about giving and stuff. And I look at over there, what would I preach about over there? You know, in America, we sit here and we quote verses like Malachi 3:10, and God's going to bless you, and you're going to get so much, and just give, give, give. And you know, I mean, specifically, someone that jumps to my mind is Joel Osteen and his ministry down there. You go on his website, and you know, you give, and God will give you back. What do you tell folks like that in Iraq? You know, God is going to give still. And God's going to give. They're going to receive their blessings in heaven greatly. So I just want to challenge you as we look to these passages and read through this. For right now, to me, this passage is perfect because this is like us right now. And we're like a church in Corinth. You look around America and we need to flee sexual immorality. You look through 1 Corinthians, that's the church in America. We're focused on all these silly problems. And there's a church like Jerusalem just struggling to even stay alive. That's our missionaries. Our missionaries are out there doing it and hoping to go home and see their families. So, it just... You know, I know, you know, recently we had the shooting, and I don't want to just brush that aside, in Oregon. I don't know. I hate reading conflicting stories. I mean, some are saying that the guy specifically asked who was a Christian, and then they stood up, and then he shot him. It's tough with the media, and it's annoying. It's very annoying that we can't just get a straight story. And it breaks my heart that our president did politicize this. And even said that I'm going to and did it. And just did a little dot of let's pray and have them in our thoughts. We should just pray. But I need to be careful not to judge because I'm not the president. You know, I don't know what I would have done. But I did pray. I mean, that's horrible what's going on. But really, in a grand scale, we are comfortable. I mean, none of us really had to worry about coming here. You had to maybe worry about your car starting. You went outside and you're like, oh my goodness, is winter here? This is ridiculous. You have to go back inside and get a coat. You know, that's the least we have to worry about. We do have it good. So those who can stand, please stand with me. Let's read through 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ, the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. Father God, we thank you for your word. God, I ask and pray that you allow me to say the words that you once said this morning. Not my agenda, not my sermon. Lord, let this be yours. Touch each heart and soul and allow the words of your word to change us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. So this morning we're going to pick out specific things, and the 3 points I have is giving, it's all God's, and you. We're going to talk about you, what do you get? We're going to be honest that we are humans, we do wonder what we're going to get, and it plainly states that here. So first we have is the giving. We read there in verse 6, it says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And it's what I want to emphasize is that this is not a meaning an amount. And what I mean by that is, you know in Mark 12, verses 41 to 44 there, we see the poor widow, and she gives a mite or pennies or whatever translation you use. It seems like a minuscule amount, but it was most, if not all, of her money. And Jesus said, what this woman gives is greater than what the rest of those folks did who dumped bags of money into the pot. So it comes down to you, what you're giving, and is it sacrificial? Are you actually giving sparingly? Are you giving bountifully? And we see that in verse 7, that this is a personal decision. It says it right there, each one must give as he has decided in his heart. God wants you personally to think about this. Okay? And I don't want to get into, and that's parts that was removed and taken out of here. I don't want to just start discussing and arguing about the tithe. Okay? That can be another time. But we see in the New Testament that a lot of these folks did come from Israel and Jewish background, so they did those things. But here in this church, this Corinth is mostly Gentiles. They're not sure about this tithe, this giving. They know that they gave. Those who came from pagan temples, even there, collected a tithe or amount. But Paul here is not going to emphasize a number. He's going to emphasize a decision that God wants you to do. And we see there next, he says, I want it to be personal, but not reluctantly or under compulsion. Okay? Reluctant is also grudgingly. I like that better, grudgingly. He doesn't want it to be that you're depressed or regret. You know, like I talk about that guy who slips out a 100 and puts in the plate and thought he put in a 10 until he gets in the car, you know, and then now he's depressed. It's not going to work out this week too well, you know. But God doesn't want it that way. God wants you to give not out of regret, not because you're bummed out. You're like, oh, I really don't want to do this. He wants you to have an excitement about it. Again, no compulsion. It's not a necessity, not an obligation, not a demand. He doesn't want you giving because some guy from the pulpit is pounding up here saying the money's short, get it going. You know, the plate doesn't come forward here, and I look and I say, not enough, pass it a second time. You know? That's not what God wants. You know, he says right there, for God loves a cheerful giver. Cheerful there is where we get the word hilarious. It's almost comical, the amount of giving to this world. Understand, it's not to even, it may be to you, your neighbor next to you or those around you, it may be comical that they think they can't believe that you would give that much. But that's what God wants you to be excited about it. Because that's the real question, and that's why I emphasize the title, Why Give? Why? You know, you'll ask some people, why do you, if someone new came in the church and they see the plate and ask, well, why are you doing that? What would you say? If you say, well, because God commands me to give a tithe, then really, is that why? Then God, honestly, then you're basically grudgingly and you're doing it under compulsion. God doesn't want it. Nor does this church. Because God doesn't bless grudging money. God doesn't work with money that's given under compulsion. The key is, and he says here, is that verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency, or being content in all things. That's the issue we in America have. We always want the next promotion so we can get this. We never make enough because we want that. It's always about things. You know, it's every commercial you see, it's the guy looks across the street, oh man, look what that guy got. I want that. Then we got to get something better. It's this constant focus in, you know, Philippians 4:11. It says, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I mean, that's big. Whatever situation I'm in, to be content. That's tough, right? Now, let's be honest. Let's be real here, folks. That is tough. You know, in America, because we don't understand, when we say we're hungry, it means that we haven't eaten for 2 hours. We missed lunch and we thought we fasted. You know? We think that because we're content with a PBJ instead of turkey and cheese, that means that we've reached a spiritual high. I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah, and that's why I'm excited too for the Voice of Tomorrow, because I don't know how many of you guys follow it, but you look around the world, it's amazing what Christians are going through. And to think that there's churches this morning having battles and fights about carpets and paint, and it's silly. So why give to this? You know, it says there that God, he's able to make things content with you unto every good work. And it says, verse 9, as it is written, and this is a quote from Psalms 112:9, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. God will give to you, but he will not give so that you can satisfy selfish, unnecessary desires. That's not why he allows his children to be blessed. And Paul here is saying that, you know, God is going to help, God's going to supply, but you see that he is in turn immediately believing and understanding and knowing that these folks are going to give it right back. The other thing too is, I love in verse 10, he says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread. So whose is it anyway? It's all God's. Isn't it amazing? You know, people think that, well, I give 10% to God. No, you kept 90% away from God. Really, you know? Let's be honest here. It's his. You know, it's not like he's sitting there stressed out like, oh my goodness, Jerry, if you don't give it today, I don't know, the world may stop spinning. You know? The bank's low up here in heaven, you know? We're running tight. I mean, come on, folks. It's all God's. You know, I just, a few verses I'd like to read to you. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he's done in the body, whether good or evil. If I just read it in Romans 14:12, so then each one of us will give an account of himself. And lastly, we see in 1 Corinthians, where Paul's emphasizing this sexual immorality going on in the church, he says in 6:19b, says, you are not your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. I mean, folks, when we stop and think about giving, we are assuming that it's ours. When we talk about dedicating time, we're assuming like we own the clock. It's His. It's all His. You're returning, if anything, not giving, you're returning it. The question is, as we need to ask ourselves, is what are we doing with ourselves and our money? What are we doing with His body and His money? You know, I challenge people that have complained about Berean. Now, I don't like how Jesse's church is down there. Jesse's? Are you serious? Replace that, because it's not mine. God's. Now say that. Well, you don't want to, do you? It changes in your head. You're complaining about God's church. And you need to remember that too when we think about other churches. If God is at work there just because they're different, well, folks, guess what? So are you. We're all a little different. Amen? You know? And God wants to use different people to reach different people in different ways. You know, Bob's not here, but I'm sure he'd be fine me picking on him. But look at who that guy hangs out with. And he goes and prays with the Hell's Angels and stuff. That's weird. Isn't it? I mean, how many of you ladies would be like, sign me up, throw on some leather and jump on a bike and yeah! Let's go preach to the Hell's Angels, you know? No, it's different. But Bob's different. He knows that. And he's reaching different people. It's you're taking the body that God has given you. You're taking the money that God has given you. And you're using it to do God's work on God's earth. So what happens with all this? So you look there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's so beautiful. Is verse 11, it says, you will be enriched in every good ways, every way, to be generous in every way. And it says, what will happen? Through us will produce thanksgiving to who?
God.
God. Verse 12, also overflowing in many thanksgiving to who?
God.
We skip right down to verse 15. Thanks be to who?
God.
God. So who's getting all the credit for this anyway? You sitting there thinking like, oh, look what I did. And sorry, folks, they're not. The missionaries aren't in the field saying, oh, thank God that brother gave that money. They're just praising the Lord that God supplied the money. And then what else happens? In verse 13, it says, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God. It's all going to God, folks. So think about it. When we stop and we think about, okay, in my life, in my body, in my finances, in my every being, I want to give thanksgiving and praise to God. How can I do that? Well, here's the channel. Here's a way. Paul's saying, look at this, guys. Because of your cheerful, hilarious giving, God's being thanked. Well, now all of a sudden that changes things, doesn't it? Well, praise God. Now whether you want to do, you just want to give more to God. And that's what does happen to people. I'll give it a personal testimony. It was, I believe it was back in 2007 or around 2008. It was around the Christmas time. I was here, for those that didn't know I've been here that long, but I got laid off, lost my job. And the guy said, you know, the boss, we're going to go back to work, don't worry about it. It didn't happen. We got through Christmas, and the good old state of New York unemployment office was whatever. They weren't sending the checks. They had, oh, it's in the mail stuff, you know. Fact is, the account was getting low. I had to go find another job. So I go out on this hunt. I find a job. I had to decide where I wanted to work and how much money I wanted to make. And I ended up over here at the factory, IFCO, the finest place. And it was a mess. Disgusting. They hire felons. The only people they won't hire there is pedophiles. Otherwise, they don't care. I still remember the day this guy's chopping blocks for me to make pallets, and the Altamont police pull in, because they have big garage doors, pull in there, grab this guy, cuff him. He said, didn't pay his child support, dummy. First check he got, we're out of here. Then I'm sitting there thinking, I'm not worried about the idiot just got arrested. I'm wondering who's going to chop my blocks, because I got to make pallets to make money. It's piecework, I can start chopping my own blocks. This is a problem. And it was a regular occurrence. Cops pulling in, arresting people, leaving. I'm like, this is a fine place to be working. But I was bringing in the money. And it was hard. It was hard work. You know, wintertime there, they don't give the guys heat, nothing. It's you get your job done. You want to complain, then just go work somewhere else. They don't care. But the fact was is that someone in this church was giving money through the church, and we were receiving checks in the mail. Now, I have no idea who was doing this. The only one that probably would know is Mark, the treasurer. Now, I gave glory to God because it was helpful. It was great when I came home from those hard working weeks and looked at my check because I didn't make enough pallets and I felt like a failure. And I was trying. But then someone blessed. Now, I don't get me wrong. I gave credit and glory to God for that. But the simple fact was that there was a family member in Berean, because I consider you my family. A family member saw another family member struggling, and they stepped in. That's what the church is all about. Amen. You remember when we started 1 Timothy, Paul said what? Toss those guys aside. They don't want to stick to the doctrine. Let them out. Kick them out. And don't let them be underneath the umbrella of the church. What does that mean? What does that mean is that when you get outside there, you don't receive the blessings in here. Well, the people around this town and here look in here, they ought to not look in here and see problems of bickering, because why in the world would they want to come here? They should look upon the church and see that when the family, when you join that church, you become part of a family. And God's family takes care of God's children. We give to missions, we give to each other, we support, we build each other up. When we're having those tough times, when we trip and fall, it's not me being poking and prying at your life. Don't look at it that way. Some people think that because I may call someone, because I, Pastor Larry knows, when you stand here in the pulpit, I scan across here. I know you guys all have your assigned seats. I get terrified when the visitor shows up and sits in your spot. I'm just praying to God. You don't look at him and go, seriously? All the seats in here, you have to sit in my spot, you know? But I know who's missing and not. And I will call. I'll shoot a text and I'll wonder what's going on. Not because I'm, you know, where are you doing? I want to make sure you're okay. We need to know if we need to bring over lasagna. We need to know if you need some help. Because we're a family. I mean, think about it. If you showed up for Thanksgiving dinner and someone was missing, you wouldn't just be like, eh, well, who cares? I mean, if he ate most of the turkey, you might not worry about it. But, I mean, you'd wonder, what happened? Where's so-and-so? What happened? And that's what it is all about. And you see this, the church of Corinth, they have all these problems going on. And Paul's telling them, listen, guys, here's your opportunity. Because the church in Jerusalem is sitting here thinking, like, are they even Christians? Because Paul, the stuff we're hearing that's going on up there, it's pretty disgusting. It's pretty disturbing. That's going on in church? What's the matter with those? See? That's why Jesus should never went to the Gentiles. Right there. Look at that. They're going to prove and show that God is working. And God's, and we're going to get our heads on straight here. And God's blessing our lives, and we want to bless you. And that's, I really, you think about that. That's what it's all about. You give, it's not to, because some of us like to, you know, preachers will emphasize, you know, hey, look, you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, you sow bountifully, give a lot and you'll get a lot. Why are you giving, though? Are you giving because of that? Because the God I read in the Bible doesn't work like, he's not a slot machine. You pop a quarter in, oh yes, jackpot, that's my God. What, are you serious? God does work, God does bless, God does provide. But why? What for? And I know, folks, let's, the third point here, you. And I want to be honest, folks, it is tough. You know, here, we're praying with Pastor, okay? God promises to provide. God promises to take care. God promises life. God, but sometimes he doesn't. He does things different. Babies die. You know, we're praying for a little Amelia in Sunday school. 4 years old, has got possibly brain cancer. Are you serious? Four? It's not this smoker that doesn't care and doesn't care about their life and doing whatever they want and why do they get to do this, God? Those questions are real. And God doesn't judge us. We're living on earth, folks. We're living on earth, and this is not heaven. Amen? This is not heaven. What about me? Let's be honest here. What about me? What about you? What comes of this? Well, he says there in verse 14, while they long for you and pray for you. Do you understand that our missionaries are praying for us? I mean, we should be praying for our missionaries, but our missionaries are praying for us. Folks are praying for you, that God would work in your life. God would orchestrate things. Some of these folks that we are supporting that are having some of the toughest times in their lives are making sure they set aside time to pray for Berean. And says there that because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. It's only because of the grace of God that America is not a spot on the map. Okay, if you want to stop and think about the millions of aborted babies. Now I love that John MacArthur said that the two largest terrorist attacks had nothing to do with 9/11. Nothing. It was the day we legalized abortion, and the second greatest thing was when we legalized homosexual marriage. Because we attacked the child in the womb who's innocent. Now we're going to attack the family that God designed. How dare they want? Who cares whether you get married or not? If you don't believe in God, then why would you believe in marriage? You don't see monkeys having ceremonies in the woods. If you believe you came from that, then why in the world do you want marriage? Because they're begging, human beings are begging and pleading that you would tell them that what they're doing is okay. They want to believe it because in their hearts, in their beings, the Holy Spirit is tugging on their hearts, telling them what they're doing is wrong. This is not the way God designed. I don't care about your desires. Don't justify it. Just because I have a desire to do something doesn't make it right. It doesn't matter how hard it burns within inside of me. You doesn't make it right. The Word of God says no, it means no. It doesn't mean God's not a fair. He's the creator. Think about it. If you make and create and design something, don't you have a right to tell it what to do? Don't you have a right to do as you please with it? Lastly there, you see, is the joy of giving. You know, it is, Jesus said it, right? It's greater to give than to receive. It's so true, isn't it? It's neat. It's the stories I've heard of people giving and worried, and then the money came in immediately. I just praise God. Because I'll tell you, Pastor, I'll tell you, it's tough sometimes, you know? People are like, well, I did what you said. I hope it works out. You're like, oh, Lord, please. They're never coming back after this. You got to help me out here, you know? He does. But there is times that he tests. You know, I think about that time I lost my job. Where was God there? Was God trying to teach me that he will be faithful and I just had to relax because I did go back to work after a while? Was he giving me an opportunity? Because I tell you what, I did a wedding there at that pallet factory. I picked up this guy and drove him home every day. He just got out of prison. Knows the Lord, made a really bad decision. Was just begging his wife to take him home, but she wouldn't. Good godly woman said, you prove it. I love that. He was so mad as a preacher sitting there telling him, wow, she's got a point. What do you mean? She should forgive and let me in. Oh, you screwed up, buddy. She's got a right. I'm praying with him. Was God testing and to see if I would have the faith that he's going to provide? Or was God just giving someone else an opportunity to bless my life? Because someone gave so that he could receive thanksgiving and glory through money somewhere else. When we get to heaven, there's a DVR, I'm sure. We'll be able to figure it all out, play back and watch and be like, oh, Lord, amen. You did. That makes sense. So in conclusion, I just, You know, we have the faith promise, and I pointed this out to Mary. She thought it was hilarious, but if you look at these, these are for children in Sunday school, obviously, because it says, I promise each week to give a dollar, 50 cents, 25 cents, 10 cents, and a nickel. Folks, our missionaries cannot live off a nickel. Any of you checked that? That's hilarious. They got to be older than me, because that won't even cover a stamp, you know, my goodness. This isn't something we expect to get today, but the fact is this church, we budget. Okay, I know it sounds like weird, especially those who work for the state. You know, we budget, and we stick to our budget. Okay, if the money comes in, we send it. If it doesn't, we can't. Okay, so we figure a budget on this every year. And we look at what people say they're going to give. We look at that number. We divide it out by missionaries, and we make a decision on what we can give. And sometimes it doesn't. Some folks don't want to fill this out or whatever else, and or more money comes in. That's fine. It's just we want to be wise with the Lord's money. And the last thing we want to do as a church is promise a missionary we're going to send $100 a month and it doesn't come in. Okay, you shouldn't expect your leadership to sit there and show up at a board meeting with a checkbook to fill in all the spots you didn't send, okay? But it's for a budget. But the key thing is, and I know I talked about this, and I brought up Francis Chan before. You know, God bless that man, and he's making so much money now. Before he allowed himself to get the money, he decided him and his wife on a number, and they won't let any more money come in their house. And they have an organization that just gets rid of the rest. That's weird. Honestly, that's weird. You know, I met a guy in Ohio. He was an engineer, and we were talking about money and giving, and he told me he lives off 10% of his income and gives away 90. That's weird. That's hilarious right there. That's hilarious. Why? And I'm nosy, young teenager, so I was just like, well, how much is that, buddy? What? I mean, if you make a million, then woo, you know? And it was, Ron, he said 90, 100,000, depending on the year. And his kids are going to school, and they got to work for their own money. It's weird. But that's God working in someone's heart. Now, am I expecting you to go home and pull out your deed and get everything and sell your house and go live in a box? That's ridiculous. Don't you dare even imply that I said that. Because look right back. Go back to verse 7. Each one, okay, this is what this is all about. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. God leaves it up to you. We can't judge those people because they give so much and it's because they got so much. God decides. God's in control. And he wants each of you to decide what you want to give. And that's your weekly giving to the church. That's your faith promise to the missions. This is how we decide the budget for the missions. And so what am I saying is that God wants you to give how you want to give. If you want to use the Old Testament 10% because it works because you need to use a calculator to figure it out, that's God's not up in heaven saying no or yes. God he says, I love a cheerful giver. So if it's not fair for me to say that if someone makes $10,000 a year, you better give a certain amount. Because sometimes it's tight around folks. Sometimes that nickel is a lot of money. Sometimes a couple bucks is a lot of money to you. But one thing that time when I lost my job and stuff, and Aaron and I had a chance to really look around, decide on what we needed. We had to look down and look at our budget and see where we're spending money. What do we need to do certain things? And that was eye-opening to me, and I praise God for it because I didn't change it when I went back to work. So I said, you know what? I really don't need to do that. We can change some things around here. But that's, again, me. When's the last time you pulled out your checkbook and asked God, how much do you want me to give? I mean, I know a lot of you are sitting there thinking, Pastor, no way, because what if he asked for it? The book. Some of you would say, go ahead, Lord, because you only got so many zeros. It's not a big deal, but I mean, really, when we look at God says, I own you. You know, we think about that. We tell college kids when you figure out college, you should pray about it. But when's the last time you asked God about your job, about your life, about your Saturdays? Ooh, about your Sundays? I mean, we make so many decisions based on what we want to do. Why do we give? That's the question for you to ask, answer. Why are you giving? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for giving your son, Jesus Christ. Lord, when I stop and think of even that, any amount of money seems so small. To think, would I give my son? Lord, I just pray you help us, Lord, that we would not, this church would be filled with folks that give because they want to. Lord, that no one here would feel reluctant or grudging. No one would feel that this pulpit at all, at ever, any time, is forcing anything. Father, we thank you for how you have blessed us. Lord, I just can't even imagine living in other countries, how they don't even have a home. It's gone. Their homes have been tagged, so now they have to fear being killed. Lord, we truly are blessed. We live in a blessed nation. It's a mess. It's a headache. It's annoying at many times. But God, it truly is better than most places in this world. And Lord, I pray that you would help this church, us as a family, Lord, that each one of us would deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ, that it would not take persecution for revival to happen, but instead that we would just look and allow the Word of God to challenge our hearts. Lord, I pray for every missionary that's going to come to this pulpit and speak and talk about the work that you're doing in and through them. Please bless them. Allow them to have safe travels here and back. And Father, help, I pray, that this congregation would show their support by being here. Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful work you're doing in each one of us, and that you count us worthy to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Jesus, precious name. Amen. Real quick, I know I went super late, sorry. Carol and John, as we're talking about giving, they're going to give themselves. They want to officially join the church. Come on up. Pastor, you come on up too. Where's that handheld? Is the handheld down here, Mark?
Down
front pew. Okay. They're going to give a quick testimonial, audible brief, and Christ-centered.
I was adopted into a Catholic family and raised Catholic in the name of the same. That religion, I was taking a class. It was the Catholic catechism and doctrine classes, and they brought me through the Bible, and I came to the saving knowledge of Christ.
Amen.
God allowed me to reach a pinnacle of pride in life that was followed by a great fall, and he came back to me, and I came back to church, and this time it was to a small conservative independent Baptist church in Cooperstown, and I turned back to Christ and as my Savior and also as my Lord, and have dedicated my life to Christ since then. Mm-hmm. Got baptized by immersion as part of the rebaptism.
Amen. Carol's turn.
I grew up Lutheran, and we went to church every week, so I heard the word of God, but I didn't know God. It was more of a head knowledge. I knew about God, I knew about Christ, and I did believe in God and Jesus, but I didn't know about having a relationship with Him.
Mm.
And my life changed at that point. I started attending First Baptist Church in Johnstown in 1994, and I served there until last month. Mm. And in various ways, I taught ladies Sunday school a couple of times, worked as treasurer, did various things. And now we're going to be serving God together in this church.
Amen. Yeah.
Let's all sing. When we're all done, once you come forward and give then the right hand of fellowship. Father in heaven, we're just grateful, Lord, to be blessed in this church. Lord, just thank you so much for bringing John and Carol to us and how you've led them here. Thank you for their testimony, son, how they've come to know Jesus, but now you've given them a heart of dedication to you, Lord, at the heart of serving you and knowing you and loving you. And I just pray your hand be upon them in a mighty, mighty way. Use every aspect of their lives, Lord, to bring honor and glory to you and to build the kingdom of God together. So we just thank you for their addition. We pray that we can encourage them in the work of Christ. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ah, you did fine. Amen.